Morning, everyone. We're going to continue our study of the book of Luke. So if you can turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And we're going to carry on from where we left off last week, after Jack's lesson on the parable of the sower. So let's pick up in verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. We'll stop there for a second. When you read a passage like that, how does that make you feel? Especially that bit there in verse 17 where he says, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Do you feel good about that? It's a bit scary, isn't it? You know, when Jesus told this parable, this was he was speaking to his disciples. And he's actually continuing where he left off about the parable of the sower. You know, as we heard last week, the parable of the sower was the story he told about a farmer going out to sow some seeds. And the seed represented the word of God. And he sowed it and it landed on four different soils. And it landed on the path and amongst the thorns, the weeds, the good soil. But he's talking rocky soil. He's talking about how the seed is the word of God, and different people will respond to it in different ways. And then the disciples come to him and they ask him, so tell us about this. And he explains it to them and he says, okay, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are given to you. They're the ones who came to ask. And he explains to them, okay, so this is what each part means. The seed, it's the word of God. It takes root in the good soil, the good heart. He says that on the path, the hard soil, it doesn't even sink in. Satan comes and takes it away instantly before it has an effect. He says on the shallow soil, it takes root briefly, but because there's no roots, it quickly withers and dies. He says the thorns, he says it gets choked out. And so it never matures and never produces fruit. But on the good soil, he says it takes root and it grows and it produces fruit. And then he carries on to say that no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. You know, when you look at the context of this in some of the other Gospels, I think that the meaning becomes a little bit clearer. So, for example, in Mark chapter 4, and he talks about, again, the parable of the sower, and the seed was sown, it produces a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. He said to him, do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand. So the whole idea is that the seed is meant to produce fruit. The seed is meant to multiply and have an impact. Similarly, when you turn the lights on, you want the light to have an effect. You don't turn the light on and then put it under the bed. You don't do that unless you're trying to hide under the bed and read there and you don't want your parents to see the light or something. I don't know. But he says, you put it on its stand so it lights the whole room. That's the whole point. It's meant to have an influence on its surroundings, on its environment. Likewise, the disciples, they're the ones that Jesus entrusted in his word to. They're the ones who are meant to be the good soil. They're meant to have bear fruit. It's meant to have an impact and an effect on others. You know, in Matthew 5, when he shares the parable of the light, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Until they put it on a stand, it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The whole idea is this. In the same way, we are to be that city on a hill. We are to be that town that is visible, that has an influence and an impact and an effect on the people around us. Just like the good soil, it multiplies, it grows, it produces fruit. So my question this morning is, I've only got 2 points. How bright is your light? And the second point in the message is, how well do you hear? How bright is your light and how well do you hear? He says the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those of a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. You know, the seed that produced a crop was the seed that matured. The seed that was snatched away, didn't have a chance to grow, produced nothing. The seed that was on shallow soil, didn't take root, lasted only for a little while, withered and died. The seed that was in the thorns, he says it got choked out. It grew, but it got choked out before it could mature and produce fruit. And he mentions three things that choked that plant out, that stopped it from being a light, that stopped it from having an impact, that stopped it from producing the crop. He talks about the life's worries, riches, and pleasures. In Mark 4, he talks about the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You ever had any worries in life? Students, got exams coming up? Any of you worried? You know, at various stages in our lives, we have different things that worry us. But you know what's interesting? If someone were to ask you, so what was it that was worrying you 3 years ago? Off the top of your head, can you tell me? What about 5 years ago? 10 years ago? You know, the worries of life, there's always going to be worries in life, always. But we do not need to allow those things to choke us and make us unfruitful. You know, Jesus, he talks about in Matthew 6, he says, listen, God's going to take care of you. If you seek first the kingdom, he will take care of you. You don't need to worry. He says, who of you by worrying can make a difference? Who of you can add a single hour to your life? Or who of you by worrying can add an inch to your height? Or who of you by worrying can... Our worry does nothing other than give us ulcers and stress and hair loss. You know, this whole idea is we've got to be careful about being choked out. We've got to understand that we've got to depend on God. We've got to make sure that our focus is clearly on Jesus. You know, we want to be the light that is having an influence. We want to be the light that is reaching out, that is saving others. How visible we are will determine the impact that we have on those around us. Let me show you this advert I saw recently. It was about paint that was produced to help make cyclists more visible at night. And I thought about this yesterday as we were driving to Cambridge yesterday. Julie's cousin was performing in a play. It's a one-woman show, and she'd written and she was performing it. And so we were driving up there, and to give Hannah, who's down for the holidays, just some driving practice, we let her drive the car. And so we put her on the insurance, and plus also I didn't really want to be driving to Cambridge and back. And so we put her on the insurance, and I was hoping to take a back seat and relax, but Julie wanted me to sit up front for whatever reason, I don't know. And as we're driving, I couldn't really relax because as we're coming up to various roundabouts and things, and Hannah passed her test about, six months ago? Hannah passed her test a while ago, and so I was expecting her just to drive confidently and it'll be okay and everything else, but she's like, Dad, what do I do? And there's at one point, then a cyclist went past, and my heart was in my mouth for a split second. And then Hannah started talking about her. She's that cyclist, that's me, that is. When I'm in Oxford, I'm on my bike and I'm cycling around. And then we started talking about safety, and then my mind went from one thing to the other, and it landed on this. And that's what I'm going to show you now. So.
Thank you. every day something almost happens. You've kind of got to be able to second guess the taxi in front of you or the pedestrians coming up.
I end up getting nearly hit at least once a day.
The young driver lost concentration and hit me from behind. I was extremely lucky that day. The doctor said that 95% of people that would have sustained those injuries would have been killed by them.
We're on roads that were built really 100 years ago for far less traffic.
In terms of cycling at night, I feel way less visible. Sometimes I choose not to cycle home at night. It's a lot more dangerous.
LifeStaint is a unique spray, different to other reflective products on the market. When you apply it to the surface, the reflective particles will stick together with a special adhesive, making the spray invisible by day, but light up at night in the glare of headlights.
Volvo is renowned for its safety innovations. LifeStaint takes the principle of our 2020 vision, protecting passengers inside the car to protect those outside too.
I think you've just got to be as visible as you can, and that's the good thing about LifeStaint, is it makes it very hard for you to be missed.
Putting something on that will make you scream out to drivers like me is a fantastic thing.
I think cycle safety in London is not all about bicycles, it's about cars, it's about pedestrians, it's about sharing the road with other users. So it's great that a car brand has got involved to essentially help cyclists and help drivers in the end and save lives.
I was reminded of even what he says there, this whole idea of being visible helps saves lives, and this whole idea of the brighter we are, the more opportunity we have actually to save lives. And how do we let our light shine? Well, you know, when I was young, when I started going to church as a young kid, I was taught, you know, you let your light shine by the way you live your life. And that's true, but turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Let me show you something else. You know, it is important for us to let our light shine, but letting our light shine, I think it's more than just one thing. I think it's a couple of things at least. Number one, it's how you live your life. You know, I believe that when we are living like Christ, then our example sets us apart from the world. You know, when you go to work and people see the way you behave because you are a Christian. Because you believe in God, because you follow God's word, you live a life that's of integrity. That you strive to arrive early. That you put in a full day's work. You don't skimp, you don't skive. You give your whole heart. You know, when we're at school or when we're at university, then we decide I'm going to really set an example and work hard so that my example won't turn others off Christianity. Can you imagine? If we're calling ourselves Christians, but we're setting a terrible example just in everyday life. And then we're telling others, hey, come follow me. And you can be like, just the way I am. They're like, what is that? But we've got to decide that we want to be visible. We want to be that city on the hill. And in Philippians 2 and verse 14, he says, do everything without complaining or arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. You know, Paul says you've got to become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Boy, if that's you, then you will stand out a mile. He says, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. It's twofold. We need to shine by the way we live, but then we also need to hold out the word of life. I was reminded of this just this week. You know, on Tuesday, the staff from around London have a staff meeting. And we met together and we split up men and women. And Julie was teaching a lesson for the women. And Mohan got the men together and said, brothers, let's really focus on prayer and the ministry word today. How are we doing in our prayer life? How are we doing in our evangelism? He said, let's take some time to pray and let's take some time to go out and share our faith. And so we did that. And so we prayed and then went out and shared our faith. And so Mohan and I went out, and we're around Warren Street area, Tottenham Court Road, walking around, and just inviting people to church. We spent about half an hour praying, then we spent about half an hour just sharing our faith. And, you know, it's interesting, because I said to Mohan, you know, I forget what it's like, actually, just to go out on the streets and invite my faith just for a good period of time. Typically, the people I share my faith are the people who I meet at the gym or build in my area, in the neighborhood, and build friendships with and relationships with, and then reach out and share over a period of time. And it's been quite a while since I just went out for a specific period just to go out and invite people on the street. And I remember we used to do that a lot about 10, 20 years ago. Not so much now. And I appreciate every time I go out and see some of the teens out on the Wanstead High Street sharing their faith. That's awesome. But I thought to myself, boy, I need to be doing this more and more. We were only out for a short while, but because we were around Warren Street, I met a number of people who were students from UCL. That's where I studied. And so I was able to strike up lots of conversations and just get into good discussions and invite people to church. And there are four people who I spoke to who were interested in coming along to church. And so they gave me their phone numbers and asked me to contact them. And Mohan met a couple of people as well. And so just for 25, 30 minutes, but we met six people who were interested in knowing more. And that was encouraging. And so afterwards, we came back and we're just asking everyone else, hey, so how did it all go? And a number of people we spoke to, they were like, well, we didn't really meet anyone who was interested. I was talking to Jack. I said, who do you go with? And he said, oh, I went out with Kerry, and we got talking to one guy. We spent a long time just talking to this one fellow. And, you know, it struck me. I thought, there's so much that we've been taught, especially those of us who are older as disciples. There's so much that we've been taught as young Christians that we need to pass on to the next generation. Just about just looking for the open person, just not wasting time on people who really aren't that interested. Our goal when you go out onto the street isn't to batter people into submission. You will come to church with me, and you know, if they're not in, no, sorry, I'm not interested. Why aren't you interested? And chase them down the street. They're running, you're running after them. That's not the goal. Jesus says, search for the worthy person. And so if someone's not interested, say, that's not a problem. And you look up, you move on, and you reach out to someone else and say, would you be interested in coming along to a Bible discussion? And just get into lots of different, and you know, you will find people who are open. But it made me realize, boy, I've just not been doing this enough. And I've not been setting the example. You know, how bright is your light? How are you doing just in terms of shining like stars and holding out the word of life? You know, I love the way he prefaces this passage here about shining like stars with do everything without complaining or arguing. There's nothing more off-putting than having been in the presence of a moaner. I don't know if you know people like that or if you've come across people like that in your lifetime. But people who you meet them and they just seem to find things to be miserable about. And if the sun is shining, it's too hot. If the sun isn't shining, why isn't the sun shining? We never get any good weather in this country. You know, and you know, you offer them a cup of tea, they say, well, I'd rather have coffee. You offer them coffee, well, don't you have any tea to offer me? And there's just everything is, and then there's the arguing. And you know what? I believe part of shining and being a good example is learning to be content in all circumstances. And later on in Philippians 4, Paul actually says, I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. That's a challenge, because sometimes those circumstances can be very difficult. Sometimes we're faced with very challenging situations to deal with. And that's where we focus on God. That's where we go back to the Lord and we say, you know what, I can't handle this, but you can. And our strength comes not from ourselves, but from our Savior. That's why in Philippians 4, just after he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. He says in verse 6, do everything, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. Part of shining is learning to depend on the Lord. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. You know, in Luke 8, he's just told the parable of the sower. But included in that parable of the sower, he says at the end of, after he's just told the parable, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he goes on to say in verse 18, he says, "Therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him." You know, there is a way to listen and really hear and take on board. There's also ways to listen and for it to have no impact. James 1, verse 21, he talks about humbly accepting the word that was planted in you. The seed, there's the humility that's got to come before as we listen to God's word. Now, what I think he means there in verse 18, when he says whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him, it's this whole idea of if we don't listen properly, then even what we think we have is going to go. What do I mean by that? How many of you took music lessons when you were a child? Raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with taking music lessons. Put your hand up. Right? Yeah, put your hand up really high. All right? So when you were young, you took music lessons, okay? Now, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. How many of you are still at the standard that you were when you were taking those lessons? Keep your hands up. Whoa. What a waste of money on those music lessons. You know what happens? When we learn something, if we don't hold on to it, if we don't stick with it and apply it and put it into practice, you quickly lose it. It's the law of use. Use it or lose it. And the same is true of the Word of God. That if we can come to church and we can think by coming to church that this is doing us some good. Well, it is so long as you use it. Because if you just come to church and you hear the message and you don't apply it to your life, then actually even what you think you have will be taken away. The benefit you think you receive actually is going to be diminishing. Because you'll come to church and you'll think in some way, shape or form, this is doing me some good. But if you're not applying it to your life, trust me, all it's doing is hardening your heart. And you're worse off than if you hadn't come in the first place. That's not an excuse to not come. But what I'm saying is we've got to change our hearts so that we listen and we apply. That we make a decision that we are going to put into practice what we hear. Jack did a fantastic lesson last week. If you can remember the points, raise your hand. I'm really glad that Jack raised his hand. Because otherwise that would have been terrible. You know what? We hear messages week in, week out from lots of different people. I love listening to Martin preach. I love hearing Paul Rowden preach. I love hearing Jack and Ben and Leslie and these other guys speak. But it's not just about, oh, this is great, I'm going to hear someone teach a good lesson. It's about actually applying it to our lives and into our hearts. Because we can come along to church, but unless we are changing, unless we are putting something into practice, it's meaningless. It's not going to help us to the degree that God wants it to help us. If you carry on reading verse 19, it says, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.' He replied, 'My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice.'" It's not enough to say, well, I come to church. You've got to hear it and put it into practice. Jesus even says that the people who are really his mother and brothers are those who hear and apply the word of God. There's something about just obedience to God's word that enables us to have a relationship with Christ. A real relationship. We can't just depend on relational. We can't depend on genealogy. We have to apply God's word to our life. You know, what does that mean? It means you've got to allow the message to have an impact. You've got to allow it to change your behavior. The seed that the sower sowed, only in three of the soils did it sink in, and only in one of those did it actually produce fruit. We can hear a message, and it can maybe take root for a short while, but then it withers and dies. Or it can take root for a longer while, but then it gets choked out by the desire for other things, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth. Or we can hold on to it and allow it to really impact us. How much do you allow the God's message to really impact you? Let me show you this other video clip.
Hello? Can you see me? Clearly. Because for more than 30% of the drivers in Russia... Hello? Can you see me? Clearly. Because for more than 30% of the drivers in Russia, I don't exist. They take disabled parking places and don't care about the signs on the ground. They always forget that I am more than a sign. The nonprofit organization Dislife.ru turned a flat sign into a projection of a real disabled person. A thin air screen saturated with water dispersion was invisible to human eyes. Special cams verified the presence of the disabled sticker on their windshields. And if no sticker was detected...
Стой!
Что ты делаешь? Я не просто знак на асфальте. Не притворяйся, что меня нет. Почему ты так удивлен? Это парковка для инвалидов. Да! Для настоящих? Пожалуйста, припаркуйся в другом месте.
The activation took place in shopping malls and business centers in Moscow, including the largest mall in Europe.
Каждый день я преодолеваю множество препятствий. Тебе лишь нужно перешагнуть через себя и научиться уважать мои права.
You're about to go into a disabled parking bay. Stop! I'd scare you. Stop. You know, there are lots of lessons or messages that we're supposed to listen to and we're supposed to hear, and we'd sometimes could ignore. And we can do that with the Word of God as well. That the Word of God has given us advice. You know, in James 1, he talks about humbly accept the Word of God that is planted in you that can save you. The messages that we hear are there for our salvation. But sometimes we can just ignore those messages or not really allow them to take root. How good a listener are you? How well do you listen? At the beginning of this message... No, I'm just kidding. You thought I was about to test you, didn't you? But if someone were to ask you, so what are you going to take away today? What points are you going to absorb? Do you know? Let me just give you a couple of tips. When it comes to the sermons, jot down what are the chief points. Back in the day, we all had our pens and paper when we came to church. It was kind of, you know, you brought your Bible, you brought your pad, you brought your pen. And you'd write, and sometimes if you've got your pad, then we used to have these church notices that you'd write on the back of those. I've still got a box of those back in my filing cabinet. And I'd write, and I'd written on notes from the sermons on them. Just write down some things that apply. Write down some things that you can actually put into practice. Make a decision that you're going to go away each week with at least one thing you can put into practice that week. The one thing I'd encourage all of us, let your light shine. Shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. What does that mean? That means Don't get choked out by life's worries. Leave it to God. Don't argue and complain. Instead, actually, learn to be content in all circumstances. Share what you have. You know, when the farmer's sowing the seed, you think about, wow, why is he throwing seed on the path? What a waste. That's not going to go anywhere. Why is he sowing seed on the rocky soil? That's not going to grow. The seed actually was relatively cheap compared to the price of land. And so actually, the more seed he sowed, the more return he would get from on the crops. It doesn't take much to sow seed. A three-year-old could sow some seeds. It doesn't take much for us to share our faith. All we have to do is just tell people what God has done for us. You could have been baptized 2 weeks ago. You can still be sharing your faith today, this week. And for those of us who have been Christians longer, we've got more history of what God has done in our life that we can share. Let your light shine. Share with the people around you. Another piece of advice. Memorize the Word of God. Really get stuck into the Scriptures. You know, just since the beginning of the year, I've been using this Bible app. It's, you know, you've got the U version of the Bible on your phones, and it's free. And you can get pretty much any translation out there, including in different languages. But it also comes with different Bible reading plans that you can use. And again, it's all free, and so you just click on what kind of plan you want. And so I started reading the Bible in chronological order. And the great thing about this plan is, you know, you just, when, as soon as you open your app, it goes to the date of the year where you are, and it'll tell you what is your reading for the day. And it's got it all right there for you. So you press on, okay, today I was reading in 1 Samuel. And so it's got the chapters there, 1 Samuel 9. And so I'll just click on that and I can just read that. And then it ticks it for you to say you've read it. And then it moves on to the next one. And it's just an easy way just to stick to your Bible reading. But then take time to actually learn some things. This week, Jack and I got together and we were playing this game called Sword. Sword. It's a game I used to play as a young Christian when I was sharing a room with Douglas Jacoby. And he taught me this game. And the way you play it is someone would read a verse from the Bible and the other person has to guess which book, chapter and verse it is. And if they get it exactly, they get 3 points. If they get one verse away, then they get 2 points. If they get two verses away, they get 1 point. And any further than that, you don't score anything. You got it? So let me give you an example. I'm just going to read a verse, all right? And you just tell me, book, chapter, and verse, what this is, all right? As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. I picked that at random. That wasn't that. All right, so who's memorized the book, chapter, and verse? I know Hugo put his hand up. I'll come to Hugo last. Asher. Good effort. Because in 1 Timothy 2, it does talk about this whole idea of women being quiet in church. But it's not that particular one. See, if you'd listen to the wording, listen carefully, then, okay, anyone else? Hugo.
I think it's 1 Corinthians 14:34.
Exactly. 3 points. I saw him looking it up on the phone. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. But so anyway, Jack and I were playing this game, but we weren't playing that game. We were playing reverse sword. Reverse sword is where you don't read a passage out from the Bible. Instead, you have to just say a reference, and the other person has to quote what that reference says. The only stipulation is both of you have your Bibles closed, and you, if you're going to say the reference, you have to know the verse itself. So you need to be able to quote that verse yourself. And so it's a test of your knowledge versus the other person's knowledge. And so we played that game. And how did you do, Jack? No, it's fine. But it reminded me of sometimes it's good just to sharpen up, you know, our knowledge of the Word of God. If we are not willing to listen to the word of God, then how well can we hear? We've got to train ourselves to get into to be good listeners. That means reading our Bibles on a daily basis. So then we can actually absorb the word, and so then we can actually apply the word. Three guys went out hunting. A doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher. And a pheasant flew across the air, and all three of them shot at the same time. The pheasant went down. They all ran over, and then they started arguing over who's the one who actually shot the bird. Gamekeeper comes along and says, "What are you arguing about?" He said, "It's we're arguing about who's the one who managed to bag this pheasant." He took one look at the bird, examined it. He said, "What do you all do?" And he told him, "Doctor, lawyer, preacher." He said, "It's the preacher. He's the one who got it." He said, "How do you know?" "Well, it's easy. The bullet went in one ear and came out the other." But we can so easily listen, but not really hear. And I want to encourage us that this week, let's make a decision to actually apply something from the message so that we can go away changed. I'm going to close out with one last video. And it's about a woman whose hearing was, she lost her hearing, but then it was restored. And she was able to listen to her son's voice for the first time.
About 15 years ago, we knew that her hearing loss was as bad as it was when we would be talking to her and she would turn and walk away. That's when we really noticed that there was a serious problem.
When I was 30, I made my first appointment to have my hearing checked. I realized that I had profound hearing loss. I had lost speech recognition, so hearing aids have never been an option for me. Communicating for me is extremely exhausting. I communicate with people by reading lips. It's almost impossible for me to follow a conversation in a group. I'm lost very fast.
I have no idea what anybody's saying, and I'm completely unable to focus in here right now.
It's very difficult for me to be in large groups, so I tend to stay with a small group of people that I'm comfortable with. The first time I met with Dr. Slattery was 2 years ago, and he told me that I was a candidate for the cochlear implant. It was very hard to make the decision to have the surgery. It took a lot of influence from my family. I'm not afraid of the surgery. I'm more afraid of hearing. I've never heard my 8-year-old son's voice. In my mind, I can hear my son's voice, but I know that I don't hear it. So maybe I'm afraid of what I will hear compared to what my brain tells me that I hear.
Just yesterday, she was able to hear her 8-year-old son's voice for the very first time, and we were there to capture it.
Dawn's activation went fantastic. She's going to leave here soon to go meet her son and hear his voice for the first time.
I still haven't spoken to my youngest son, and so I'm looking forward to hearing him.
She never heard my voice. I'm just really excited that she could finally hear.
I'm nervous. I'm hopeful, but I'm also afraid. I guess I still have that fear of I'm not going to hear him.
Hey, Mom, could you hear me?
Yes. Now you can talk and I can hear you.
I love you.
I love you too. Are you happy that I can hear you?
Yes. Now she can finally hear me and I'm not silent anymore.
You know, Jesus, he just called out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have the chance to hear the Son of God. And we have the chance to apply the message to our hearts and to respond. If we don't use it, we'll lose it. I want to encourage us this morning. Ask yourself the question, how bright is your light and how well do you hear? Amen.
This is one of those closes I don't really know what to say, really. Mike has given us the challenge. I think for me personally, though, it's I would often get overwhelmed with lessons. This is my personal view. And think there's so much to kind of grasp. And often it would end up being burdensome. Because I think, oh, I've got to change. Because when I list the things I needed to change and things I'd hear, I think, wow, how can I let my light shine at the same time as how can I start hearing better? And the lesson from last week and the lesson from the week, I said, wow, this is too much. The great thing is, though, I think, for many of us, is over many years we can see godliness creeping in and showing in. But it does take that decision. So I really have to wrestle. Even today, writing notes. I'm not used to writing notes. I'm used to Bible studies, hearing things, and then somehow at the end of my day or week, just trying to figure out what is it that God is trying to tell me. And that's a very important thing, to figure out what you need to focus on. Because as me, you probably can get overwhelmed. But I'm certain, even from the lesson today, that you let your light shine. You know, I've changed careers over life, and I'm in an environment of plumbers and heating engineers, and the language is quite colourful, and the environment is quite colourful, and the things I hear are quite intense, and it really is a struggle for me to consider how I stand out as a Christian. Do I correct them in their language? Do I treat them in a certain way? And I'm sure in your work environment as well, the situation, you think, how am I supposed to let my light shine? Is it? Maybe you are on time. Maybe you do your work, but maybe you don't do it with a smile. Maybe you do it with a bit of a kind of mundane, as soon as it's 5 o'clock, you're out. So for you, it'll be different for everyone else, but really it is something to consider. How is your light shining at work? How is your light shining at home? How is your light shining with those who know you best? Your wife, your husband, your kids. Does your light shine? Your friends, your family. And this can sometimes be a challenge. And also just to hear for me some of the... Mike was going through these things he used to do with the Bible, and I'm thinking, wow. Sometimes I sit down and say, I am going to learn some verses today. And at the end of the day, I still haven't learned them. And I'm thinking, what happened? That was my intention, to memorize a few verses, and it didn't really work. And again, this is something that can be a challenge for us. But I think, again, from listening to the sermon today, and just being reminded, I think, of the dangers of not taking it seriously. The dangers of coming here and being numbed by the word. That's the frightening thing. You know, you're numbed, you go home, nothing's changed, the week's the same. You come back next week, you're numbed, you're further numbed. In other words, you become insensitive. And then you probably don't hear. Or you assume you're doing fine. And that is a danger for me and for many of us. And that's why we need help for people around us to encourage us and to challenge us. But there were some specific challenges from today that we can take away. So next week, who's preaching? Who is? And who's the teens can't preach. Who's teaching? You don't know. Okay, well, anyway, the teens are preaching next week. But as we come to that as well, let us come thinking how this week has been different. And I'm sure the teens will be very keen and eager to teach us new things that we have missed as older people. I speak for myself. But again, let us listen and really apply these things, even if it's just one thing that will make a difference. Let's really be encouraged to do that. I want to thank Mike for that. That was a great lesson for me and for many of us. Very key. And I pray that we can be a church that, you know, we share our faith because the Bible says so. We preach, we spread the news, and we help people become Christians. We're going to have a final song this coming Friday. It's just the women, but the men will always be serving. Amen. Let's all stand for a final song.